just a moment, our good friend, director, and leader, Debbie Jeffcoat's going to come and give a word of introduction and then share with you about the ladies that are graduating tonight. This is 10 years of Caris House Ministry, a wonderful anniversary time of 10 years of great victories, some discouragements along the way, but just the Lord's been so faithful. A lot of great things that have gone on since the very first time we started. When we do things, we try to put a name on it, and we came up with Caris. It's been pronounced every way, upside down, left, right, that you can think of. It's the same word as charismatic, all right? Charismatic. Charis is grace. Mata is gift. So charismatic is one that has the grace gifts. When people ask me if I'm a charismatic, I say yes, because I have the gifts of grace. That's what that word literally means. It's not what people normally think that it means. But charis, the front end of that word is grace. And so the Caris House is the grace house, a house of grace, where God, by grace, saved us. He gives us the opposite of what we deserve, and so that's what we want that home to be. And the mother of graciousness is Debbie Jeffcoat. And Miss Debbie's going to come and share with us. Debbie, I don't know who did this, but they put this in here backwards. Did you? Well, this is backwards, all right? Yeah, that way you can get up under it a little bit, all right? See, that's the way that thing's made, so you can do that. Yeah. I know, I thought it looked like some drunk put this up here. It may have been. Yeah, it was. I want you to know I love this lady. We've walked through a bunch of stuff, and if you have somebody that you think might want to be, you know, part of this ministry, you can talk to me. But all I do is say, Debbie, this is your, and nobody gets in this ministry that she doesn't say. I would never ask her to do that. I've brought her some names, but she runs that, and she's our leader. And I want you to give her another good hand right now as she comes. You come.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome. Thankful to be here. And the pastor said, sweet lady, but I have many over in this section that would not agree with that at times, Pastor. So, but I'm grateful to be here tonight and so glad you joined us for our graduation. We have five sweet ladies graduating. And then we are celebrating our 10-year anniversary tonight. If you look back and you see all these ladies in red back there, it's like a big family reunion for me. So I'm so excited. It's like all your children come home. So I'm just overjoyed to have them all tonight. We welcome you again. We thank you. Bear with us tonight. We have a lot of testimonies. We have a lot of words. There'll probably be some tears, but it's tears of joy, tears of gladness. So we'd like to take this opportunity to thank all those who volunteer in our ministry. Without you, we could not do what we do. We have faithful volunteers. They show up every week. We are so grateful for each of you. You may teach a class. You may lead a devotion. You may have given a monetary gift. You may have let us use your condo in the summer. Any services you've donated, food, and any kindness that you've shown to these ladies is grateful. And gratefully appreciated. Thanks to each of you, church family, for investing in the lives of these precious ladies that come to us feeling guilt, shame, and totally worthless. Many of them come in the program and they don't stay. It's hard. Recovery is very, very hard. It's hard to look at your past, and it's double hard to live in a house full of women. And so, is that true? Okay. It takes a lot of determination. It takes a lot of perseverance not to give up. There, many of them, they've got as far as the picnic table, and they were going to leave, and they didn't. I praise God for that. So to stay a year is really an accomplishment, and a lot of them would tell me I never finished anything. So I'm so proud of them when they do graduate, because this is an accomplishment. Our graduates tonight, I'm going to call them in order, because that's the order their videos are coming in. Kathy, Kayla, Melissa, Stacy, and Tiffany. And their videos will show, after their videos are shown, each lady will come up individually and finish her story. Thank you.
Life was just normal to me, and I never knew growing up that I was any different than anybody else, because everybody else was doing what I was doing, partying, and it just became a lifestyle to me, a lifestyle that I continued with after high school, on through college, and into my career. Ended up getting pregnant and getting married in 1999, just impulsively to someone, miscarried, was not able to carry to term twice, and my now ex-husband was a recovering alcoholic. He would go to an AA meeting. I'd get in the car, go down to the liquor store down in Navarre, turn around, come back. It's before they sold liquor in Santa Rosa County. And just hide it somewhere in the house. We had a house, and when we got divorced, we found bottles everywhere. I used to drink to party, and then because I had to hide it from him, I started sneaking drinking, which meant I'd go to the bathroom, chug as much as I could, come out after brushing my teeth, and, you know, pretend everything was okay. By 2002, 2003, we were divorced. And instead of going back into my career in the psychology field, I went into retail. And I found out that retail was very conducive to my drinking lifestyle. I didn't go out and party anymore, that's for sure. I sat at home and I drank. I sat at the pool and I drank. I would exercise and I would drink. Everything, I would have to take a shot of vodka to go to the mailbox. I had serious withdrawals. I had seizures in Walmart, seizures in Winn-Dixie. And my sister got in touch with a friend of mine who works at Waterfront Mission and set it up for me to go there. Being the good drunk that I am, that morning I woke up, walked to Chick-fil-A across the street, went to Walmart, got two bottles, got drunk. And on the way there, my sister turned around, called Waterfront and said, I'm just dropping her off at the foot of the bridge. Give it to somebody else that needs it. She's worthless. We want nothing to do with her. And Mr. Bill at Waterfront said, no, take her home. Bring her back Wednesday. Let her sober up. And then 7 months into the program, we find out Waterfront Mission is closing. And I got mad. I got mad at God. Because I was finally understanding and finally getting somewhere. And I wasn't drinking. I met Miss Debbie, and she came and offered me a place at the Karis House. 16 days, I will be 1 year smoke-free. I am 19 months sober. On April the 11th of 2016, less than 2 weeks after being at the Karis House, I was saved. Jesus is my friend. He's not just my friend, he's my comforter. He's my rock. And what I've always thought I had to fulfill myself with, I have found a relationship with Jesus, and it took the fear away. I don't live in fear anymore. I live with abundant joy, and I kept thinking it was going to stop, but it doesn't. It just keeps getting better. But anyway, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm a child of the Most High King.
Hi, I was the drunk that turned this around, but I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Kathy. Thank you all for joining us as we officially recognize the end of one season and mark the beginning of another. The Lord declares in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has plans for all of us, and that those plans are to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. He has fulfilled that promise for me. I came into the Karis House confused and broken, hopeless about ever being able to live a normal life without alcohol. With all the treatment I had received, I could have written a book on how to get sober. It was staying sober that eluded me. I couldn't understand why I couldn't educate myself into sobriety. The ministry through Olive wrapped their arms around me and immersed me in the love of Jesus Christ when all others had given up, including myself. Proverbs 3:5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to depend on our own understanding. By applying this proverb, I have been transformed into a new creation. My life has changed. I experience what it means to have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I finally realized that God had to do for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I had to let him. In January, I entered phase 2 of the Caris House. This is a reentry program designed to successfully transition us back into the real world. I've been out of the real world for 20 months now. So it strengthens our wings as well as provides us with a spiritual safety net. Next month, I will be going on my first mission trip to Kazakhstan, and I will be part of an eye clinic ministry. We're going to be providing reading glasses and spreading God's love. I love being a Christian at a place called Olive. Thank you, church family, each and every one of you. Thank you, Miss Debbie, for giving me this opportunity when Waterfront closed its doors. I love you all. To my sweet mom, Emmy, my dad in heaven, Gus, my sisters, Anna Marie, Carolyn, Mary Beth, brother Paul, and my sister-in-law, Wesley. I never meant to bring you any shame. Thank you for loving me even when I was unlovable. I am most thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that he was patient with me and that he never gave up on me. I now know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have hope and I am excited about my future. Thank you.
I'm 21 years old. I was raised in church in a really nice environment. My mom and dad are really good parents. In middle school, I started getting bullied. I kind of lost my self-esteem and kind of had a spirit of rejection upon me. So I started trying to fill that void that I had inside of me with men. I thought a man could make me happy and fill that spot that was lonely inside. It all started out by me smoking pot, and I thought it was cool because my boyfriend at the time was doing it, and I thought it would make him love me more. Anyways, I just started going from relationship to relationship, and I still had that void inside of me. I went to college, I had 3 jobs, I graduated high school, had a car. I ended up giving all that up for a relationship that I thought was gonna work out. It was a very sick relationship. My boyfriend at the time was bipolar and not on his meds, and we were using, so that made it worse. I ended up getting sick and admitted to the hospital. They said I was almost in sepsis and could have went into a coma. I just knew I needed change, and so I'd been talking to my mom, and I knew that I still had, like, things could turn around. So I chose to go home and went into a treatment program, a 30-day secular program, and ended up graduating, went down south to a halfway house, ended up relapsing down there because I thought I could do it in my own strength. God told me, Kayla, you can either come to me now or you're gonna die in your sin, like I heard it in my spirit. So ever since then, I've been pursuing him full force. God has done a marvelous work. I see miracles happen almost every day. I know now that I found my identity in him, that He's the only one that can fill that place in my heart and give me that true joy that I was searching for. And most of all, that I'm loved.
My name is Kayla, and I'm a new creation in Christ. I used to live and walk in condemnation, shame, self-pity, and depression, believing the lies of this world. It was easy to believe these things because I didn't know who I was. Since I have been at the Karis house, the Lord has shown me the truth of who I am in Him, and that it's not about what's on the outside, but what's on the inside, and that is Jesus Christ. That it's not about what others think about me, but what He thinks of me. 1 Samuel 2:8 says, He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the ash heap and makes us sit with princes. This is what the Lord has done for me, and He can and will do it for anyone else who seeks Him. Romans 8:2 says, For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Because of this, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. First, I want to thank the Lord and praise Him for His grace and mercy He so freely pours out upon us, and for what He's doing in and through the Karis House and Olive Baptist Church. I want to thank the pastor for listening to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to what the Lord has called him to do with the vision of the Karis House. I want to thank the volunteers and staff at Ministry Village at Olive. I also want to thank my family and my church family for being so supportive and encouraging me on this journey. I give God all the glory and honor and praise for all He has done. Thank you.
I've never really known what innocence is. My innocence was taken at a very young age. I struggled with depression. I struggled with who I was as a person. I lost that little girl. I got married at 23. I'm still married currently to my husband, who supports me, and I'm very grateful for that. We have 3 beautiful children. We have 5 altogether. Partied, though, with my husband, you know, drank occasionally. I didn't have any hard substance abuse until some instances happened in my marriage. And I just chose to go back to that lifestyle to try to cover up any pain. But I was able to maintain it for 3-4 years, you know, until it got to a point that I was surrounded by darkness. There was no more hope. There was no more light. So I slit my wrist. And it landed me in a psych ward. But my mother called and said she had found this place that she thought would benefit me. And she just asked if I would talk to Miss Debbie. That's all I would do, is just talk to Debbie Jeffcoat. I said, okay, I'll talk to her, fine. I had not peace, but a comfort. A comfort that I hadn't felt in a very long time. I just feel like inside it was like, you know, you have to do this. You can't continue to live like this. So I called my husband, and he wasn't happy. And I said, well, with or without you, I'm doing this. By the time I was released from there, he said, I'm with you. I support you. And and I will do whatever it takes on this end to keep our family together. Since I've been here in the Karras house, my husband's been saved. He has been a father to our children that he's never been before. And he has just really stepped up. And that's only God. Only God can transform hearts like that. And since I've been here, he has been doing nothing but performing miracles almost every day. Every day I see him. Every day I hear from him. And that's just God. That's God for you. If you look for him, his word says, if you seek me, you will find me. And I ran smack dab into the middle of his chest.
Oh, hi. I'm the emotional one. So I'm Melissa. I have two amazing parents who never gave up on me. They laid a foundation of God, and with their guidance, I pronounced my faith the summer of 98, and I wasn't discipled, and I never really had any healing from my past, so I rebelled. I completely muddied and lost the person God had created and intended me to be. I want to thank my parents, my sister Casey, her husband Louie, my husband, my children, for seeing my worth and past my addiction and past all my poor choices, even when I couldn't. Thank you, Mom, for finding the Karras house. I think you had some assistance with God. but I came here broken. I came here exhausted with no desire to live. I was here mentally and physically, but it wasn't until August 21st that I finally came to the end of myself and checked in spiritually. I started to feel remorse, and my heart became repentant. And repentance to me is more than regret and sorrow, but a godly sorrow for my past sins. This one's for you, Pastor. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. And that is a change of mind. So a change of mind turned me from my sinful past and transformed my life plans, my ethics, and my actions as I began to see the world through God's eyes instead of my own. Mark 1:15 says, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The day I truly repented was the first day of the rest of my life as a new creation in Christ. Being here has enabled me to look back at my life and see that God has always been with me. The amazing staff and volunteers here have taught me how to have a relationship with God and how to maintain it. I have learned that I have an adversary, but as I leave here tonight, I leave here with the tools. Gotta find my spot. With the tools to combat the enemy and lessons on how to live a victorious life. Most of all, being here has given me a life worth living and a future to look forward to, a testimony to glorify God with and to share. I want to thank the Ministry Village and all they do wherever you are at, Mr. Stan. Not only for the Karras house, but for everything that y'all do in the community. Thank you for Olive and Pastor. For all of y'all's support. Thank you to all the staff and volunteers that have given and poured into me this past year. Mr. Tom, Ms. Kathy. I have made lifelong, godly relationships here that I am truly grateful for. And most of all, I thank my Abba Father for this divine appointment that he has set for me here at the Karras house. Thank you.
From about the time I was 12 years old on, my parents partied all the time. They finally divorced and I went to go live with my dad. What I hadn't realized is that there was undertones of an eating disorder from the time I went to go live with my dad on, off and on my whole life. And my back, I had started to have problems with my back. I'd had two herniated discs in my lower back. Came to the realization that I probably wasn't going to do it on my own, that I hadn't done it on my own my whole life, that I'd been overweight and had a problem with that forever. And almost from the time I had gastric bypass, I started a drug addiction. Like, I could no longer use food for an addiction, and it turned into a drug addiction almost overnight. And I went from being 275 pounds prior to surgery to being 120 in a year. From the time that time on, I started, like, my life was just chaos. I was working a job, but I was never there on time. I started to get into trouble. I started going to school, and I was in school full time, but I was working part time and trying to juggle my house. House was going into foreclosure at this point. I was in a relationship, and it was going down the drain. And my house went into foreclosure, and at that point, I realized that I no longer had a home for my son, and it wasn't fair to him to raise him in that kind of environment and not know where I was going to be from one time to the next. And so I dropped out of school, and he went to go live with his dad. So I lost everything. My son went to go live with his dad. I lost my dogs. I lost my house. Well, then when everybody's checking their kids' book bags, you know, you go to work, and everybody's talking about their kids, and here mine's gone. So from that point on, I didn't talk to him for almost 2 months. That, aside from going to the Karis house, were probably two of the most difficult decisions I ever made. Sadly, when that happens, though, you fuel your addiction with more drugs because you can't afford to feel. Not long after I lost my house, my uncle was killed in a motorcycle accident. And my grandmother died right behind him of a broken heart, and she drank herself to death. And then after my grandmother died, my mom was super close to her, and she drank her whole life, and she drank herself to death. So I had to be up front and center for both my grandmother and my mother being taken off life support. That was my decision to make alone because I'm an only child. And so that just fueled my addiction. You know, I'm thinking whatever I have to take to get through this. You know, I'm thinking that bits and pieces of grief will come through, and I'll deal with it when I deal with it. You know, that's how I have to live my life because you don't want to admit that you're weak or that you're folding under the pressure. Whew. But underneath, I was a mess. And so I just kept going. And my mom had talked to Miss Debbie. And I had made a phone call to her. I finally got up the courage to make a phone call. And she said, you know, I'm going to ask you some questions. And you need to be honest with me about these questions. You need to be honest with the answers. No matter what happens, I need honesty from you. And she asked me some difficult questions. By this point, I'd already decided that I needed help. I came in May of 2016, and by June 6th, I was in the program. And by July 24th, I was saved, and I'd been baptized. And my life has been forever changed. My relationship with my family is been rebuilt. My son and I, he waits for my phone calls every week, where before he was avoiding them. And I just can't wait to see what he has for my life.
Hi. My name is Stacy, and I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. And that's where I spent my entire life until last year, to moving to Pensacola to come to the Karis house. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. My whole life I longed for a people and a place where love was contagious. I have found the love of the Lord here in Pensacola, Florida. There is no doubt in my mind the Karis house and those who surround me are not only answered prayer, but a part of my divine appointment. I give all the glory to my Heavenly Father for not leaving me where he found me. I want to thank my dad and my mom for never giving up on me. And when I finally come to the end of myself, Dad, thanks for coming to get me. Thank you for driving 20 hours straight through with myself and my dog and my cat in a U-Haul. All of us broken and needing a home. That was one of the best trips of my life, Dad. God heard your prayers, and thank you for that. Mom, even though I didn't come from you, You are my mom in every sense of the word. Thank you for loving me and showing me what godly parents look like. I want to thank each and every one of you who have vested interest in my life, therefore making my recovery possible, especially Miss Debbie, for believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. Thank you to the Cares House managers, current and past. To all my instructors who donate their time so freely and energy, loving us every day. Thank you to Pastor for your passion and your passion for addiction and for women in addiction. And Mr. Stan, thank you. Thank you for all the godly men and women that surround you both. It would not be possible for each of you guys being obedient to the Lord and the people that surround you. I'm truly honored and blessed to have you all in my life. Thank you.
By 5 or 6, I can't remember, my parents got divorced. For the longest, up until I was 12, I started keeping my feelings inside, not letting people see that my emotions were getting the best of me, so I just buried it under playing softball or doing everything I could just to keep my mind off of not understanding why my family wasn't together anymore. Started hanging out with the wrong crowd, I guess. Started drinking on the weekends, going to bonfires, not worrying about school or doing homework or listening to what my parents had to say. Started smoking weed. And by 17, I started doing ecstasy, which that turned into like every single day. Then I had met a guy through some other people, Eddie, who was a coke dealer. And I ended up hanging out with him and then one day just staying and not leaving. And that turned into, I started smoking crack. And it was every day, all day. As long as he was giving me the drug, I was staying, I didn't care. We would start fighting and it just ended up with him hitting me or threatening me, threatening if I leave, he would threaten my family. Then by March 2011, I called my dad because I couldn't take it anymore. I didn't know what to do. I knew I was gonna die. So he drove from Georgia to Titusville, picked me up, came back to Pensacola, and I was in Waterfront Mission within a month. I had a detox before I went, and my dad went through that with me, and he wouldn't leave me by myself, made sure we stayed busy. He wouldn't let me lay in the bed because I just felt like I wanted to die. And then once again, I got in contact with a guy that I used to date when I was like 14, 15, 16 years old. We'd gotten back together within a month. I moved in with him. Right after that, I found out that I was pregnant. I used the whole time I was pregnant. So they took both my children. One, Brandy, they took to my dad's, and Skyla is Native American. They took her away and took her to the reservation. Like 3 months later, I met a group of people that were into cashing checks, big checks, to different banks. We'd go out of town and do all that, and that caught up with me quickly. Within 2 months, I was arrested, taken to Montana, and charged federally. I did 2 years in federal prison. I got out November 6, 2015, and by December 2nd, was here at the Cares House. I've been here now for going on 17 months. It has completely changed my life. I got saved at Waterfront, but the Lord never, never took his hand off me, never. And I think what I was running from the most was him.
Ooh, hey y'all. Okay. My name is Tiffany. I'm 32 years old. I have two beautiful daughters. Brandy is 5 and Skylarine is 3. In November 2015, I was released from federal prison and relapsed immediately, only 2 days after I was in the hospital. I knew I wasn't going to be able to get clean on my own. I needed help and with my family by my side. I entered the Karras house December 2nd, 2015. The road has not been easy, mostly due to my own stubbornness, you know, and wanting to do things my way. The Lord started to work on my heart, and even though I didn't want to go through the pain of dealing with the things I had been holding on to, I knew that was the only way I was going to be set free. But I was fearful. The Lord says in Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." When I truly started to believe that, I was able to make real changes in my life and in my heart. When I stopped trying to control everything and let God run the show, things started to fall into place. God has done a miraculous job in me and my daughter's relationship, Brandy. He is allowing the mother-daughter relationship to grow with leaps and bounds. I finished the first phase of the program January 1st. I went to work right away here at The Rock at Olive. I am working with a tutor who has also become my mentor to get my GED. I plan on starting Pensacola State in the fall. Matthew 5:15-16 says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and that you glorify your Father in heaven." I look forward to being able to share all the good things God has done for me and my family. I want to praise God for giving Pastor the vision for the Karras house. Thank you to the house manager that put up with me every day. I love you guys very much. Thank you to Miss Debbie and the staff at MVO for seeing in me what I could not see. To the Rock staff, thank you for your encouragement and the love that you give me every day. All the instructors, teachers, men and women that poured into us daily, you are all my family now. Most of all, I would like to thank my family that never gave up on me. That has always been there for me. And it has always told me what I needed to hear and not what I wanted to hear. All the praise and glory goes to our Father in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Karras House opened April the 9th of 2007. We opened in the little house on Whitmire with six ladies and a house manager. We never thought that within a year we would receive over 200 applications. So in March of 2008, we opened another house. In March 2015, we found out that it was a lot of damage from water and infested with termites, so we had to tear it down. And in December of 2015, we opened our new home. We're thankful to our church for the generous donation that we received from them, funds from the Bargain Center, donors that donate and help with the program, because the cost is very expensive. It costs around $14,000 per lady per year to have the Karras House open. However, you can't put a price on a person's soul. And God gave everything for us. We could not do it, though, without your donations. We could not do it without our volunteers. And when you make a donation, you're not only helping one of these ladies, you're helping their family. Because, unfortunately, as I've said before, addiction is not a spectator sport. Eventually, the whole family gets to play. It's only through the power, though, of Jesus Christ can these families be reunited. We can't change any of them. Just by coming to the house, they're not going to miraculously change. They have to allow God to work in their heart and in their life. And we serve, though, an amazing God who can change anyone. I'm a miracle. He had his work cut out when he changed me, but he did, and I praise him for that. I'd like to call now our past graduates to the front. All the ladies in the red shirts, please come up. I just want you to see them. So.
These are just a few. Now I'd like for the ladies that graduated tonight to come up, please. And these are only part of them. And this is how many lives have been changed in the last 10 years, and then lives of their families. It's like Melissa said, her husband got saved while she was here. Michelle led him to the Lord on the phone. So I want to give them their certificates while they're up here. Carla has helped so much with all this. She's the one who got the shirts. They're not Alabama shirts. They're
Roll Tide.
We didn't have anything to do with that. The red is for the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the white is he washed them white as snow. They voted on it. So, Kathy. Where's my girls? There's Kayla. And Melissa. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to have their video, their slideshow video, and then, Pastor, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I think that's when the offering is going to be during the slideshow, but I'm going to give it all to you now. This is yours now. So, thank you.
Thank you, ladies. We'd be remiss tonight if we didn't give you an opportunity to trust the Christ they've told you about. Every testimony you heard, they talked about relationships. Debbie often talks about that family that sooner or later gets involved. Well, the relationships, they started in bad ones, came here, and many of those relationships are now in process. They are better. They're working. But the relationships that go horizontal are just the byproduct. It's the vertical relationship that you must begin with. It is God that loved us, that gave his son. When you look above my head to that window that is there that you see Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, that's where that issue is. God loved you enough that he sent his son, and on that center cross, Jesus died for you. He says, whosoever will come, I'll change you, I'll save you. I'll do that. What I did for these five, I'll do for you. Though your sins be like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. That's the scripture verse out of those red shirts and that white emblem. God would save you. You have to make that decision. You see, there are two other crosses that are up there. One of those crosses, the one on this side, has a shaft of light coming into it. That's the malefactor, the thief that believed. The other one did not believe. He's lost. He went to hell. The one over here, Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Then they died. They all three died. Christ died for those two. He died for you. He became the propitiation. He became the redeemer. He became the full price paying for your sin. And so tonight, if you've never called on the Lord, I'd like everybody just to bow your head with me. And if tonight you say, Pastor, I need Christ. And I'd like to invite him to come into my life and change me. If that's your desire tonight, I want you right now to tell you say, Preacher, I wouldn't know what to tell him. Well, pray a prayer like this. Just say these words to the Father. Father God, thank you for loving me. I admit I'm a sinner. And I invite you into my life. Make me a Christian. I receive your forgiveness. And I pledge, Lord, As you give me strength to do it, I will live for you. Thank you for saving me.